This morning, my message is based on Psalm 72, which we read part of earlier. I'm going to focus on verse 10, which I'll read now. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. We pray, these are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. If you maybe recall from some previous sermons of mine, I'm in the home repair phase of my life by necessity, not really by choice. And if you've ever had to fix something, and if you're handy in the same way and to the same extent I'm handy, when you need to do a project, it starts with one very important step, and that is watching like 5 YouTube videos and trying to figure out what on earth is going on. And one of the YouTube things that kind of comes up is actually from an old TV show, but they've made little content to watch to figure something out maybe. And it's This Old House. And a lot of those videos have, you know, a pro come in and you got this couple who doesn't really know what they're doing. And the pro comes in and kind of shows how it's done and fixes everything. And you're trying to figure out what to do. But you know, as you watch it, if you're like me, it kind of a certain number of things start dawning on you. It's like, okay, this is going to be a lot more complex than I maybe thought. There's some things different with my house, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do here. This is kind of confusing. Like, oh, this is actually going to be kind of expensive. Do I have these tools? And you start going down this path, and eventually it's kind of like, okay, how did this couple get this pro and TV crew to come in and fix their house? How could I get in on that? And of course, when the YouTube video is done, you know, it sinks in, okay, I'm stuck with my mess. There's no number I can call to get this same guy to come in and fix my place. And all you can think about, that couple in the video that just got that freebie, is just like, well, I guess good for them. Now I'm kind of just, you know, lost. And when we look at the text, and here we have the Festival of Epiphany, and this remembers and celebrates how the Magi come to see baby Jesus. And in what I just read from the psalm, we have these kings coming and bringing presents. And we got to, I think, ask ourselves, like, well, okay, what am I supposed to take out of this? Am I just supposed to look at this and be like, well, like that YouTube video, I guess good for them. Good for them, Magi. Glad you got a star to guide you. Where's my star to guide me, maybe? Or good for you kings, must have been nice to be kings of Tarshish and all these other fancy places. And so you can kind of be like, well, what is this? What am I supposed to take out of this besides good for these different groups here? And so I guess today, as we think about Epiphany sort of themes, we can think about the Magi, think about these kings here, and figure out what does this mean for you and me beyond a good for them sort of vibe. Now, to start making sense of it, though, we got to think about who are these kings in the psalm, and what's the deal a little bit with the Magi. Now, sometimes if you listen to sometimes songs or different nativity scenes, you kind of get the Magi portrayed as kings, and it might be in part because of this verse too, but it seems like the kings and Magi are a separate deal, but they fit thematically together, certainly. But Magi, who appear in the Gospel of Matthew and visit Jesus, the word for Magi, it's the plural of Magus, and it just is, it can mean a deceiver in the time of the New Testament. It can mean a practitioner of magic arts, or it can be a priestly group of the traditional religion of Persia. It seems like Matthew has the latter group in mind. And it's a surprise because when Matthew introduces the Magi, he says, "Behold, Magi," which is just an old-fashioned way of saying, "Surprise, Magi." What's left unsaid is how much did they know about Jesus? How did they know to worship who the star was leading to? A lot of that is left unsaid in Matthew, and there's some speculation, but the main thing that is said is, "Surprise, Magi." In our text that I read from the Psalms, we have, first of all, a very special promised one, a king we know as Jesus, but this special kingdom is going to be for all generations, it says. So this is bigger than just a plain old king. And it highlights another big surprise. These certain kings from like Tarshish and Sheba and Seba, they are going to come and bring gifts. And that's how big this king is going to be. What we might not process is how that's it to the in the psalm. That should be like, whoa, surprise. Because you have kings, these are nations that were like stereotypically far away. And yet these kings are bringing gifts. Also in the Old Testament, a lot of times when you get other kings involved, it involves maybe conquering the Holy Land and, captivities, punishments, and chastisements from God. It was not necessarily good news to have kings from faraway lands coming at you. And so we have a couple of surprises. They're bringing gifts. And they're these kings from way, way far away. And so that's a huge surprise. Moving then beyond the sort of good for them sort of approach or thought that could cross our minds with these special kings and the Magi, I think that these Epiphany texts can leave us both with a challenge and with a comfort. And first, the challenge. The challenge is that we don't often or don't always treat Christianity like a place for the unexpected like this. But in the psalm and in the Bible generally, we have all sorts of surprises like this. Those expected to kind of be bad guys end up to be good and be brought on board. Those that are super far away all of a sudden are close, are your friends, are your neighbors. You have all these sorts of surprises in the psalm and then later on with the Magi too and in plenty of other places. So we shouldn't treat people, even if they maybe seem a far ways away from the Lord, as if they're a lost cause or can't have a place here. We shouldn't treat Christianity as a club mainly for ourselves, but instead should actively make room for people and people different than us too. At times in our sinfulness, we can act like, well, as long as I'm in and as long as the people that I care about are in, who cares? Let alone accommodate those who are different from us. So it is a challenge. We have those unexpected. We have those far away, and they're getting brought on board. I think this also brings us a comfort, though, here. Like those kings of Tarshish and Sheba and Seba and the Magi, like them, you and I are unexpected, and yet we're brought on board anyways. So if you feel like maybe you don't belong with Jesus because maybe you feel burdened by sin in the past. Maybe you feel guilty of something. Maybe you feel like, maybe this isn't for me. No, this is for those unexpected. When we look at and think about Matthew introducing the Magi with, behold, Magi, surprise, Magi, that works for you and me too. We could say, behold, insert your name here. Behold, insert my name here. This is unexpected. This is a message and a comfort for those that are not necessarily expected to be involved in it. And so at times when we feel down or troubled by our sins, don't despair. Jesus came for the unexpected, and he lived perfectly for us in our place. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again as king, and he did it for you and for me. And he did it for the unexpected or people you might think are expected. It doesn't matter. He did it for you and me. He wants everyone brought on board with this. And he wants us to be in heaven, no matter how unworthy we might feel of it. We're covered in Jesus' worthiness, and that's the big thing there. And so when we think about the Magi and Epiphany or these special kings mentioned in the Psalms, I hope we think beyond a sort of like, well, good for them, must have been nice at that time. That this is something that's important for you and me here today too, in bringing the unexpected from all over and bringing them on board with his kingdom. This gives us a great comfort because whatever our background, whatever our sins that needed to be taken away by Jesus, this stuff is for us. This is for you and me too. No one is too unexpected to be brought in and to be brought on board with this message, and that's something that includes all of us, and what a great comfort it is. Amen.